Good morning. The Gemara that we read yesterday quoted Rabbi Yochanan, to Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Sadak, Kol Mishnemra Halacha Bishmo Bolam Hazeh, Siftotav Tovavot Bakever. Anyone in whose name a halacha is said in Olam Hazeh, his lips move in the grave, Shnemar Dovev Siftei Shenim. As it says, he moves the lips of the sleeping. And now you can close your sefer. That's all you're going to need it for today.
That's an exercise.
The Gemara quoted Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is in Yevamos, Daf Tzadi Vavum and Beis. And the Gemara there relates that Rabbi Elazar said a halacha in the Beis Medrash, and he did not say it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan heard about this, got very upset. So Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi came to Rabbi Yochanan and tried to appease him and only made him more upset, which happens sometimes when you try to appease someone. You say the wrong thing and it makes it worse. Then Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi came to appease him and succeeded in appeasing him. And Rabbi Yochanan said, why doesn't everybody know how to say the right thing like Ben Idi, our friend? So the Gemara asks then, Rabbi Yochanan, my time a kapid kuli hai. Why was Rabbi Yochanan so upset? Rabbi Elazar did not repeat the halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, or did not repeat the teaching in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Why was Rabbi Yochanan so upset? The Gemara answers, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, because Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Ma yichtiv agura b'ohalcha olamim. I want to live in your tents forever. The Gemara asks, or Rav asked, "Chiyev sharlo l'adam lagur b'shnei olamim? Can a person live in two worlds?" David wants to live in Hashem's tents, seemingly in both worlds forever. How is that possible? El amar David v'fnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. David said before Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "Ribono shel olam, yiratzon she'amru dvar shmua mipi ba'olam hazeh." May it be your will that the people will repeat teachings in my name in this world, in Olam Hazeh. Da Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, because Rabbi Yochanan said the name Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Kol Tamid Chacham Shomrim Dvar Shmuam Bipi Olam Hazeh Siftotav Dovot Bekever. Any Tamid Chacham in whose name a Shmua, a teaching, is repeated in Olam Hazeh, his lips move in the grave. So that is the Gemara in Yevamos. Just now, a couple notes about it. In our Gemara, in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yochanan is quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Sadak. And in Yevamos, he's quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Something I've always wondered about, and I haven't seen anybody talk about this, but Rabbi Yochanan frequently is cited as quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan didn't know Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. There were a couple generations between them. And that's the question, whether Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Sadak have the same initials, Reshin Bet Yod. And I wonder whether one or the other of them is not accurate. And clearly, here it's Rabbi Shimon in Gemara in Yevamos, it says Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. In Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Sadak. And you could answer that by pointing out that it's not the same thing. In our Gemara, it says, Kol Tamid Chacham Shomrin Devar Halacha Mipiv. And in Yevamos, it says Shomrin Devar Shmua Mipiv. Maybe they were different statements. Devar Shmua. Something that was heard. You repeat something that was heard in his name. I don't know. I've always wondered about that, and I haven't seen anyone discuss that.
Is actually right at their name as opposed to having
in the printed Gemaras, yes, but that doesn't mean. In fact, there's a note on the side here in Sanhedrin. It says Yehud Sadak. Okay, so you can't go by our printed Gemaras that after hundreds of years. We don't, right. I don't know what the manuscript said. Okay. As far as this difference between one Gemara saying halacha And the other Gemara is saying Shmua. Okay. The Hebrew word Shmua, incidentally, is the source of the Yiddish word Shmuz. Shmuz is Shmuos, plural of Shmua. That's where it comes from. Okay. So Rav Ruvain Margolios, in his Sefer Shem Olam, which is a Sefer devoted to trying to figure out who said what in places where the Gemara is not clear about who said what. For example, sometimes he says, one said this and one said that, and he goes through them and tries to figure out, well, who said what. So in the introduction, he talks about this idea of saying something in somebody's name and his lips moving in the grave. And he quotes a Medrash, which says that if you say a shmua in someone's name, his lips move in the grave. My time, what's the reason? Because the Pasuk says, your utterance is like good wine that moves the lips of the sleeping. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa and Rabbi Simon argued about this. What kind of wine are we talking about? Chadamar kahadein deshati kunditon. One said it's like drinking spiced wine. Vachrana amar. And the other one said, kahadein deshati chamaratik. It's like drinking old wine. So what's this machlokas between spice? It's like spiced wine or it's like old wine. So Ruvi Margolius suggests that that relates to the difference between the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Gemara in Yevamos. When we say that if you say something in someone's name, okay, does that mean when you say his own chiddush? Or if you would say, okay, if Rabbi Winter Zatzal told us something, read a sfarno to us, and you say, Rabbi Winter said this sfarno, Rabbi Winter is very fond of the Sfarno. Okay. So whose lips are moving in the grave? Is it the Sfarno's who came up with this fetish in the first place? Or is it Rabbi Winter who told it to us? Okay. Or could be both. Okay. So Ravu Margolius says that's the machlokas here. Spiced wine is something that somebody worked very hard on. Okay. The one who says that repeating something in someone's name is like drinking spiced wine, it means if you repeat it in the name of the person who worked very hard to make it, to make the chiddush. Okay. So if somebody came up with chiddush and somebody else repeated it, it's not the person who repeated it whose lips are moving in the grave, it's the person who came up with the chiddush originally. That's according to the Man Damar who says it's like spiced wine. According to one who says it's like old wine, so he would hold that everybody in the chain of this one said it in the name of this one, who said it in the name of that one, who said it in the name of the third one, okay, that it's like the old wine that passed through time, and the lips of all of those people are moving in the grave. And he suggests possibly that is because the Gemara Shmua, Gemara Yevamos says Shmua, something that was heard. If you repeat something that was heard, okay, so it implies that even if the person who said it just heard it from someone else, his lips move in the grave. Whereas Gemara in Sanhedrin says halacha, there it's talking about somebody who came up with the halacha or the idea in the first place. That is Rav Ruvain Margolios in the very first page of Sefer Shem Olam.
Can I ask really obvious question? At a certain point, there are no lips. I mean, to be excellent realistic.
Question. Excellent question. And that's going to be what most of the rest of the shiur is about.
Okay, great. Okay?
The one that said halakha, he doesn't actually, he means any Yiddish, not just literally halakha.
We did see, was it the very first shiur or the second shiur, that the Rambam understands the word halacha more broadly than what we call halacha, Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah. Halacha means something to live by. The word lalechet means to go. A halacha is something you go by, something you live by. Mm-hmm. That's how the Rambam understood halacha. In this Gemara, I could only speculate. So you ask a very good question. Does this mean literally, or is this a mashal, in some figurative sense? And we have here a big stack of svarim, some lined up on one side and some lined up on the other side. The Toras Chaim, his commentary on Sanhedrin, most of these svarim are, interestingly, are their authors lived between 1500 and 1700. So interesting that that was a topic of discussion at that time. And there may, this Gemara is quoted in all, as well in many Midrashim and Yerushalmi, and so there's an opportunity for many different Farshim to talk about it. But, so Taras Chaim says that why is this so, that the person's lips move in the grave, and through this we'll see whether he means it literally or takes it literally or not. He says that there's no reward for mitzvos in this world. The reward for mitzvos is in the Olam HaNeshamos, the world of the neshamos, where the neshama receives reward. But the body, which is buried in Olam HaZeh, won't get reward until the time of Chias HaMesim. Okay. That's not so fair. Okay. The neshama starts getting reward right away, and the guf has to wait until Chias HaMesim to get reward. So he says, כשאומרים הלכה בשמו בעולם הזה, אז אפילו הגוף הנקבר בעולם הזה מקבל שכר ששפתותיו דובות. יש לו הנאה בזה. So when a halacha or a teaching is repeated in someone's name, his lips move in this world, and he has some physical pleasure from that. שדומק אילו הוא חי. It's as if he's alive. והיינו דמר דוד המלך הגור בעולך העולמים. This is what David Melech meant, as Gemara in Yevamos brings, when he said, I want to live in both worlds. Because if his lips are moving in the grave, it's as if he's alive, and then he's simultaneously in both worlds. And so he seems to take it literally. It's a reward for the guf alongside the reward for the neshama.
So according to that side of the view, unless you're inside a gomer, you're not going to have lips. It's going to have to deteriorate. How do they explain? The bones that control the lips?
The perhaps. He doesn't say. Doesn't say. But we'll see. We'll see others who do say something about that, but he doesn't say. Okay. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz. In the Rav Yonasan Eibshitz lived a little later than the range I gave you, so we'll change the ending date to 1750. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz died in 1764. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz is the one who says, see the incredible foresight. He says this parenthetically, Migdal Bavel, he says, was a launching pad for a rocket to the moon, because the people knew. They were afraid there would be another flood, Rashi says, and they thought the moon would be a safe place, like people who, you know, nowadays, after we destroy the Earth, we'll all settle on Mars. Right. And they knew that getting out of the Earth's atmosphere is the biggest challenge to launching a rocket, and they knew that the farther away you are from the center of the Earth, the easier it is to get out of the Earth's atmosphere. So they were building a very high launching pad. Just an aside. See the brilliance of Yonasan Eibshitz, who died in 1764. Okay. So he, on our subject, he says that Kishomrim Dvarsh, this is in Yaris Dvash, Drush Zayin Le Chesyud Av. Chelik Bet, in my edition, page Kuf Samachay, but different editions have different page numbers. Kishomrim Dvarsh Shwa Mipiv, Az Nishmata Sarik Mitlabeshet Sham Velomdi Ve. When you say a teaching in someone's name, the neshama of the tzaddik dresses up and stands there with the people who are teaching. And then you can say he's in both worlds. He's in the world, the eternal world, and in this world. He's in the people who are saying a teaching in his name. And the neshama also dresses up in the bones in the grave, and in that sense his lips move in the grave. And he says a little farther on, "Hanefesh shava legufo, v'tiyem v'mal'ah, v'gam nidabeket b'chayim." The soul returns to the guf and fills it, and it clings to life. Okay, and he explains with this the pasuk, "Tov shem mishemen tov." It's better to have a good name than good oil. Oil is used for embalming. Okay? You could preserve the body by embalming, but if you have a good name, if people repeat Torah in your life, he seems to be saying that preserves the body even better than embalming. Okay? So that touches a little bit on your question. Obviously, we don't know the state of the bodies of most of the people whose name we repeat things, but he seems to be suggesting that repeating Torah in someone's name has an embalming effect.
This may be a little off topic, but does anybody discuss if the person, the Rav is still alive, eating his Hebrew Torah?
Yeah, it probably doesn't make his lips move. We could try it right now because the Rav is across the room. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you spill your coffee. But yes, Rabbi Yochanan clearly, so Rabbi Yochanan was alive. In the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan was alive and he wanted his teachings repeated in his name. Apparently, that has some benefit too.
So that would seem to be the Shama here. If you're not in the grave, the Shama is still 90%, whatever, 99%.
In this shiur, as in some others that we will have, I will say what we know, and what we don't know, we don't know. Okay. And we'll try to know what we don't know. The
you've learned Nefesh HaKadosh, right? It's only a small part now. The rest is up there.
That's correct. And it's not only Nefesh HaChaim that says that. That's a widely accepted concept. Okay, Rav Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir, author, very prolific author of many Svarim. So in his parish, this Gemara, that Rav Yochanan appears as well in Yerushalmi, Shkalim, Perek Beis. And he writes there, he quotes one of the commentaries on the other side who said it can't be taken literally. How could it possibly be taken literally? And he says, I don't see what, and we'll get to that commentary that he's quoting, Yafei Mar'eh, and he says, I don't understand. Why is it difficult to take it literally? The Gemara says, in Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, that the evil Roman emperor Titus, every single day he's brought to judgment for his sins. Okay. He says that we know that Midah Tova is greater than Midas Peronius. Hashem's giving out good is greater than how he gives out bad. Okay. If a Rasha like Titus can be brought back to life every single day so that he can be judged again, then why can't a tzaddik in the grave be brought back to life so that his lips could move? Okay. Seems to be taken very literally. Okay. If you at that very moment would be x-raying the earth, okay. Right now I'm saying something in the name of Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir, if you'd be x-raying the earth where he's buried, you would see his lips, you would see that he's alive at that very moment, and his lips are moving. He says that why does a person care? What pleasure does a person get out of his lips moving in the grave? So he says, the neshama always wants to return to the body. Why? Yan v'chevrato asa mitzvot she'asa l'chach mitavim u'mekavim v'neshamot l'chzor l'gufam t'chiyat ha'metim. Why do neshamos look forward to t'chiyas ha'meisim? Because the guf, the body, was the partner of the neshama in doing mitzvot. The neshama has such fond memories of the day that the neshama and the guf got up together and went to do a mitzvah. And it wants to be reunited with the guf. And therefore, when you say a teaching in somebody's name, since the person who said it together with the guf, they work together on coming up with this chiddush. It's only right that they should rejoice together. Whenever it's repeated, and the pleasure that the neshama gets is being reunited with the guf, with its good friend, with whom it came up with this Torah idea. And that's a tremendous pleasure, and that's the pleasure that the neshama also looks forward to at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, being reunited with its partner in mitzvos. That is Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir. That's how he's understanding it.
Where does he say that this recreation is by God?
I'm sorry?
Where does he say...
Right here.
Where is
it going on? I don't know. In Titus's grave, maybe. Okay. And by the Sefer, I didn't mention, the Sefer is called Agadat Eliyahu. It's his commentary on the Ein Yaakov of Yerushalmi. There's just like we have Ein Yaakov on Bavli, there's Ein Yaakov on Yerushalmi, Masechet Shkalim, Perek Beis.
I don't mean to thought that a bad part of the sense was Hitler being recreated, and it's in Gehenna.
Rav Miller in his English Sfarim does not give sources. If I had to speculate about his source for such a thing, I would speculate that it's the Gemara in Gittin that Rav Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir quoted. Okay. Rav Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir interprets that as Titus literally comes back to life and is judged. Every Yerushalmi is printing. Yerushalmi has different pages. So in Yerushalmi, we don't refer to page numbers. It is in Yerushalmi, Shkalim, Perek Beis. And you can find it from there. Well, it is. I mean, the Shkalim happens to be printed in the Bavli too. I didn't look up what page it is. Okay. One of the great mysteries of all time, why Yerushalmi and Shkalim is printed in the standard Talmud Bavli. And we learn it in Daf Yomi. Because it's printed there, we learn it in Daf Yomi. But no other Yerushalmi is printed in Talmud Bavli, and it's one of the great mysteries. I don't see why that would be. Okay, one more commentary who seems to take the literal view. This is the Hafla. The Hafla is Rav Pinchas Halevi Harwitz, Rav of Frankfurt. He's probably best known for his Perushim on Ksubos and Kiddushin. He was actually one of the early Hasidim. He was a Hasid of, he wasn't a Hasidish Rebbe, but he was himself a Hasid of the Maggid of Mizrich, along with his brother Rav Shmelka of Nikolsburg, who you may have heard of. So he writes in his introduction to Masechet Ksubos in paragraph Tes, he says, "Liyoti remzal him nemru mechilek toratam shushorish nishmatam." The words of Chazal were said from their portion. Okay. He doesn't cite this, but we say v'tein chalkenu v'toratecha. Davening, give us our portion in your Torah. What is our portion? Every person has a portion that's connected to Shoresh Nishmaso, the root of his neshama. different neshamos come from different places in heaven. If you have any questions about that, consult your local Orthodox Mekubal. Okay. But every person's Torah comes, we'll see a little bit more about that actually in a few minutes, but every person's Torah comes from the source of his neshama. And he says that's why when you say something in someone's name, it awakens the source of his neshama above. As Yitzi mentioned, in the name of Nefesh HaChaim, okay, every person's neshama is mostly up there in the worlds we can't see. Just a little piece of it is down here. And he says, Afla says, even after a person dies, there's still a connection. There's a connection that connects his neshama above to his guf below. There's still some remnant of the neshama below. And its vitality is connected to the source of its neshama above. Kedita b'zohar, as it says in Zohar, doesn't say where in the Zohar. Therefore, when the neshama is awakened by somebody saying something in someone's name, it awakens some vitality of the guf. And this is the meaning of the pasuk that was quoted. Olech ledodi lemesharim. It goes to my beloved lemesharim, an allusion to the shorish of the neshama. And he says that this is understood. It is understood from this as that if you learn somebody else's Torah, you also become connected to his neshama, because you're able to awaken someone else's neshama. That means there's a connection between your neshama and his neshama. So somehow there's some vitality that remains around the body that can be awakened by when the neshama up above is awakened. So those are four sources that, to some degree or another, take our Gemara literally. Then there are those who don't. As I mentioned, Yafei Mar'eh. Yafei Mar'eh is Shmuel Ashkenazi Yafeh. I'm sorry, Shmuel Yafeh Ashkenazi. Lived from 1525 to 1595 in Turkey. And he's one of the major Mefarshim on Midrashim and Agadata, Parish on Vedrashrava, on different Midrashim, and on the Ein Yaakov of the Yerushalmi. And as the Agadat Eliyahu quoted, he says, how is this possible? And he does not take it literally. So we'll see in a second what he says. I want to first, because he quotes someone else, so I want to first quote the person that he quotes, which is none other than the author of the Ein Yaakov, or the compiler of the Ein Yaakov himself. He wrote a commentary on the Ein Yaakov, and he says in his commentary on Shkalim, so you asked about the page in some editions of Yerushalmi, it's Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. I don't know. It doesn't tell us where it is in the Bavli. I'm sure you could find it. He says, "Umashani mitzayer latzmi b'avanat inyan zeh." What I understand, what I picture to myself, and how to understand this, okay, in a way that can mityashev al alev, that seems reasonable to a person, that a person could accept. He says that when you learn Torah, in someone's name, okay, so the it brings pleasure to his neshama, which adds to the pleasure that he had when he was alive, and he said this teaching the first time, and it raises him to a higher level in the olam haneshamos. Even though after a person dies, he can't do any mitzvos. However, it's as if he returned to this world and did another mitzvah. When we, right now, we're quoting this explanation in the name of Rav Yaakov ben Shlomo ibn Chaviv, who died in 1516. But it says, but his neshama is hopefully getting additional pleasure. Hopefully we're doing it correctly. Okay. His neshama is getting additional pleasure, and it's as if he's alive right now doing a mitzvah of saying this Dvar Torah, of teaching us or learning. So even though in general a person cannot do additional mitzvos after he passes away. And he says that that's the explanation that I mentioned, okay, when we started, that the pasuk compares it to wine. And one of the opinions is that it's a spiced wine. Why is spiced wine? Because it leaves a taste in your mouth. It leaves a good taste in your mouth after you drink it. So this is the good taste that remains hundreds of years after he was nifter, but it's still giving off pleasure. So that is the explanation of the author of the Ein Yaakov.
Is it kind of like the person speaking is an agent for the other person? So like the deceased person is barring the lips of the live person. I don't know if he's saying that.
I don't think that's what he's saying. I think what he's saying is that technically you can't do more mitzvos. A person can't do more mitzvos after he dies. But since we are repeating this teaching in his name, it's as if right now he's sitting in this chair and he's teaching. He's getting some credit for that, as if he were alive, as if he were alive and his lips were moving. That's what I understand as he's saying. So the Yafei Mar'eh quotes that. And now this Yafei Mar'eh is in Yushalmi in Brachos Perek Beis, where part of this teaching is repeated as well. And there the Yafei Mar'eh says that Kol mi shizkeh lomar davar shmua mechudeshet, if somebody merits to say a chiddush, uvtach bisharut nafsho, he has guaranteed the permanence of his soul. Why? Because all what I understand him to be saying is that all of the chachamim, right, at Matan Torah, Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu everything that every chacham will ever say. Okay? So he was represented at Har Sinai, okay, when Hashem taught Moshe. Now he's saying with this chiddush, he's connecting his neshama to the past, to Matan Torah, and the same way, he's giving his neshama a long-term existence into the past, as well as into the future. V'lachein, and therefore, k'shetomar halacha b'shem omra shekvar met, if you say halacha in someone's name after he died, harezek me'id al hisharuto, you are testifying to his eternal existence. Because you're saying, okay, I'm quoting this in the name of Yafei Mar'eh. I'm saying this Torah was taught at Sinai. Hashem taught Moshe everything that will ever be said. Okay. In the 1500s, when he said this, okay, he was connecting himself back to our Sinai. And now when I'm quoting him, I'm continuing that chain. Okay. And so it says if he's alive, okay, because it shows that death has not separated him, has not ended that chain.
So the shaman can experience some type of happiness in hearing, seeing, experiencing the learning, the relearning of concepts that he did when he was alive.
That's not what he's saying. He's that is what I think we'll see someone else who says that explicitly in a second. But that's not what he's saying. Okay? What he's saying is that by continuing the chain that connected the person who said it originally to Har Sinai, it's as if you're giving life to the person. Okay? So he doesn't understand it literally. He understands it figuratively. What you're saying, Don, is I think very similar to what Rav Menashe Ben Yisrael, you may remember from your European history class, but or you may not. He was a Rav in Amsterdam in the 1600s. The reason he comes up in history class is because the Jews were expelled from England, I think in 1290, something like that, a long time ago. And Jews could not legally live in England during the 1500s, early 1600s. The British overthrew the English, overthrew the monarchy in the 1600s, and there was a ruler known as the Lord Protector, Oliver Cromwell. And at that time, Rav Menashe ben Yisrael wrote a sefer with his views about the Geula, which was translated into English, perhaps one of the first Sfarim ever translated to English, if not the first, I don't know, but likely one of the first. And it came to the attention of the English, and as part of his views about how the Geula would come about, Rav Menashe ben Yisrael thought it was very important for Jews to resettle in England, and he traveled to England to ask permission for Jews to settle in England. Okay. So that is Mikveh Yisrael, or in English, the Hope of Israel. It was translated to many languages. Rav Menashe ben Yisrael himself lived in, he was born in Portugal, he was a Murano, moved to Amsterdam as a child, and eventually became, assistant chief rabbi of Amsterdam. In any event, so he wrote a sefer called Nishmas Chaim, everything you always wanted to know about the Neshama and didn't know who to ask. And in Maimar Hasheni, Perek Chavbet, chapter 22, he writes, Ba'al Tachshov, about our Gemara, Ba'al Tachshov Shiyesh Sham Tnu'a Mamash Bakever. Don't think that the lips are moving in the grave. Well, Kavanatam, the intention is, as Don said, Lermoz Hasimchav Ha'arevut Shemagia Lameit Birotol Shemishmoto Zachav Zikat Rabim. When the person who's deceased sees that his teaching brought merit to the many, it gives him tremendous pleasure. V'hi ka'adein d'shati chamaratik, it's like drinking old wine. Afka gav tu shati le tama b'funwe. Even though you drank it, the taste remains in your mouth. And this pleasure that the Shama has from seeing that people are still learning his Torah and he brought schus to the many is what the Gemara refers to as his lips moving in the grave. The lips are not literally moving in the grave. That is the Nishmas Chaim. One more. Nishmas Chaim? I don't know. But here's a picture on the cover. Okay. Sorry, those listening can't see it. But here's a picture on the cover of Rav Menashe ben Yisrael. One more source on this subject is, in case you need a Dvar Torah for this week's Parsha, the Degel Machane Ephraim, grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, on this week's Parsha, on the Pasuk, Ki Yedativ L'man Asher Yitzaveh Et Banav, Hashem says, I know that Avram will command his sons, and also continues, Shamru Derech Hashem, they will guard the ways of Hashem, L'manavi, Hashem al Avram et Shod Yiber Alav, so that Hashem can bring on Avram what he spoke. And he says that, quotes Rashi, that if a person leaves a son who's a tzaddik, it's as if he's alive forever. Okay. Why? Because the son undoubtedly will repeat the Divrei Torah of the father. Okay. When a person's Divrei Torah are repeated, okay, even though he's in the Olam HaElyon, but the Neshama dresses up in the Tselem, in the form that it had, I won't pretend to understand what that means, okay, and it's as if he is alive forever. And he says that the Baal HaTurim points out that the words in the Pasuk, Asher Yitzaveh et Banav, the final letters of Asher Yitzaveh et Banav, Resh, Hey, Tav, Vav, rearranged, spell Torah. The Torah that Avram will command his sons will allow Hashem to bring on Avram Et Asher Diber Alav, what Avraham spoke in this world, will come back to him, because his neshama is deriving pleasure from his son and other people repeating his Divrei Torah. That is the Degel Machane Ephraim. We only have a few minutes left, but very quickly, we mentioned this idea that the flaw. Mentioned the idea that a person's Torah is connected to the shoresh of his neshama, the source of his neshama. The Shla Kadosh explains that that's why there's machlokas. And that's why, in particular, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we know the stories the Gemara brings. Shammai was a relatively strict, tough person, right? You know, from the stories of the converts who came, right, and made unreasonable requests, Shammai sent them away. Hillel was a relatively easygoing person, was did not stand up for his honor. Shlakhadar says that's because Hillel's neshama comes from the midah of chesed, Shammai's neshama comes from the midah of gvura. Okay. Further details, again, consult your local Orthodox Mekubal. Okay. But that's reflected in the fact that, for the most part, when there's a machlokes, Beis Hillel is the one who's lenient, Beis Shammai is the one who's strict. Okay. It's not because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter discusses this in Or Yisrael in a footnote to letter number 30 or 31, letter number 30 in Or Yisrael, where Yisrael Salanter says, it's not because Beis Hillel didn't know everything Beis Shammai knew, Beis Shammai didn't know everything Beis Hillel knew. It's because a person, the context in which Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is talking about it is, we're all born with qualities we can never get rid of. Okay? When you work on yourself, if a person has a certain tendency, Bali Musar say, don't try to change your nature. You cannot change your nature. Some people are by nature kind. Some people are by nature tough. You cannot change that. You channel that. The work of Musar is to channel your tendencies that could be bad into something good. Not that being tough was bad. Shammai was not any less of a great person than Hillel. Shammai had a certain tendency, and his avoda was to channel that in a certain direction. Hillel had a certain tendency, and his avoda was to channel that in a certain direction. When you learn Torah, you cannot change who you are. You're obligated to study the sugya, okay, to the best that you can, putting aside your preconceived tendency, not preconceived, the tendencies you were born with, in that sense, preconceived. That's not what the word actually means, though. Okay? The tendencies you were born with, you have to try to put them aside. But ultimately, it will affect how the sugya comes out, how you paskin, how you resolve. And that's why Rabbi Saul Salanter says, did it ever occur to you to ask why Beis Hillel, everyone in Hillel's yeshiva always came to the same conclusion, whereas everyone in Shammai's yeshiva always came to a different conclusion? Why wasn't it sometimes half the people in Beis Shammai and half the people in Beis Hillel were on the same side, and half the people, the other half of each yeshiva, were on the other side? He says that's the reason, because of what the Shla refers to as the shoresh of the neshama, and what Yisrael Salanter refers to as the midos they were born with, I think, are the same, saying the same thing. The Shla also says in a different place The first one that I was in, Toldos Adam, Beis Chochmat Lita'a. In my edition, it's on page Kufiud Beis. And in a different place, in Masechet Shvuos, Torah Or, in my edition on page Samach Zayin, the Shlach says that we find many times in the Gemara that a teaching is quoted in someone's name, even though there's no machlokas. If everyone agrees to this teaching, why is it quoted in someone's name? It's because he developed that teaching according to the root of his the root of his neshama is. Okay. Just a final point. The context in which our Gemara brought this whole discussion in the first place was that the Tzedukim asked Rabbi Gamliel, give me a source for Tchias HaMeisim. And he quoted this pasuk that the lips of the sleeping will move. You see, there will be Tchias HaMeisim. And the Tzedukim said, no, that's talking about that his lips will move in the grave when you say a teaching in his name. But based on what we've learned today, that itself is, at least according to some of the Mefarshim, that itself is a form of Tchias HaMeisim. So in their obstinance, their unwillingness to acknowledge Tchias HaMeisim, they really did acknowledge it in a different form, okay? Which, as we mentioned yesterday, that sometimes people are very obstinate and don't want to see the truth, but we see that in our Gemara. The last laugh is on them. Have a good day. Thank you.